today to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. John 10, 11 to 18, in a sermon entitled Sheep. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to us by your word. We pray that we would understand who we are, the sheep, and who you are, the good shepherd, and what that means. In Christ's name, amen. There was a best-selling book back in 1995 by Daniel Goleman called Emotional Intelligence. Now, this book provided us with many examples of the effects that our emotions can have on our rational brain. Now, this book begins with the story of Gary and Mary Jean Chauncey, who were in an Amtrak train that crashed into a river after a barge hit and weakened a railroad bridge in Louisiana. Gary and Mary Jean are in that train, trapped. They're in their compartment. They're trying desperately to save their 11-year-old wheelchair-ridden daughter, Andrea, who had cerebral palsy. You're getting the picture. Finally, they succeed. They push Andrea through a window to the rescuers. They saved her life, but they did so at the cost of their own. It is a heart-wrenching story, but anyone who is a parent can relate to it and testify that under similar circumstances, you would have done the same thing. There's nothing you would not do to protect your offspring, including the giving of your own life, and that's understandable. Every once in a while, however, there comes along a story about someone who gives his or her life for a complete stranger, or at least a casual acquaintance. And this is not so easily explained. 9/11 was an unbelievable series of examples of how people did this without thinking of their own lives. They were running up while others were running down for safety. In May of 2002, the Hartford Courant carried a story of Robert Bonadies. He was a skydiving instructor, and he gave his life while saving one of his students. Cynthia Hyland, tumbling through the air 120 miles an hour, she could not get herself into the proper position to open her parachute. Neither could she find the parachute ripcord. Fortunately, she was flanked by two instructors, Bonadies and another one, Jim Olko. And at first, the jump went according to plan. The two teachers were on either side of the student, holding handles on her jumpsuit. They got into the proper position, facing the ground, back arched upward. Hyland practiced touching her ripcord. The three tipped over and went into a dive. That's when Hyland discovered she could not find her ripcord. She didn't know how close to the ground she was. She knew, her instructor, Bonades, knew that further delay would mean a fatal landing for his student, and so he stayed with her. He stayed with her long enough to pull her ripcord, but he stayed with her too long to pull his own before impact. And Hyland, the student, told investigators that her teacher, Bonades, known as Bobo, died because he took the time to ensure her survival. She didn't see any of this happening. She was fortunate enough to float to a soft landing in a field. She gathered up her parachute, began walking back to the airport, and two residents who lived near the farm broke the bad news to her. She said, "I broke down crying." And no wonder she cried. Someone sacrificed his life to save hers. We hear about such events from time to time. We call such people who give their lives for others heroes. They deserve our applause. We get it. Each of you have seen, heard, and understood a parent for a child, a stranger for someone they do not even know. We've got the picture, laying down the life. We bring those examples into the context of our scripture for today because Jesus, in another passage, John 15:13, says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the ultimate display of human affection and character, to sacrifice your own life for someone else. And it is very inspirational for us to hear such songs, stories. I wonder if Jesus experienced some measure of that kind of emotion when he was doing for you on the cross of Calvary, dying for you, giving up his life for you. We'll kind of compare it to that Amtrak situation. We don't kind of think of it as that skydiver or as that 9/11 rescuer. And yet this is what Jesus did. He was our rescuer. He died on Calvary's cross so that we would be saved. He submitted to the will of his Father and gave his life for us. Did he experience the indescribable aloneness or the terror? I think so, because he cries out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And think about it. He did it for you. He did it for me. And please note, however, that we get that. Okay, number one, you're laying down your life, parent for child. Number two, you're a human being, you're laying down your life for a fellow human being. Gotcha. Jesus dies on the cross. But here we go in this passage, and I'll tell you, this gets turned upside down. Because did you know something? You are a sheep. You are a sheep. Jesus says he saved a sheep. Okay, this is a little tough. I know some of you might be willing to give your life for your dog or Ruth for your cat. I don't know. It's possible, but a whole lot less understandable from another human being's point of view. Like, I don't get it. Jesus lays down his life for us. Listen to his words. He says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, don't be deluded. What transpired on the cross of Calvary was not a transaction between equals. Those were the examples we started with. This was not a transaction between equals. A man was laying down his life, and a man laying down his life for a dumb and dirty sheep is different than laying down his life for another human being. Now, I hope you don't mind this morning being called a dumb and dirty sheep. But that's why Christ died for you and me, actually. It's the sheep who should be insulted. After all, guess what? A sheep never killed his neighbor, right? Sheep never passed on the latest juicy gossip. A sheep never deliberately abused its body with drugs or stole from its employer. Judged by their own standards, I'll tell you something, sheep are pretty upright creatures. Still, I do not think that any of us would lay down our life for a flock of intellectually challenged sheep. As someone has said, God created sheep in order to make chickens look smart. Ian Simons, in his book Exploding Pigs, tells about a group of Chinese shepherds in Mongolia who were put in a difficult place when their herd of sheep took it into their heads to commit mass suicide in a lake. Two goats, with an apparent death wish, took the leap, jumping into the 5-foot-deep water, and they prompted the sheep to follow. 20 herdsmen took part in a 3-hour rescue, which succeeded in saving 281 sheep, while another 249 animals, including 206 goats, drowned. Some of the rescued animals had to be restrained from jumping back into the water. Remember your mother saying to you something like, "Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?" Well, these sheep did. Woo. Careful that. Just because some moronic goats jumped into the river, these dumb sheep followed right along. I love the way Max Licato describes sheep in his book, Traveling Light. He writes, "Sheep are dumb." Have you ever met a sheep trainer? Ever seen sheep tricks? Know anyone who has taught his sheep to roll over? No! Sheep are just too dumb. Who wants to give his life to rescue a dumb sheep? Of course, we have to admit that people sometimes do things that are equally as dumb as anything a sheep would do. Human beings sometimes do things that just aren't too bright. Of course, we can sympathize when human beings do dumb things out of desperation. But what happens when human beings do things that are downright evil? I was reading the other day about the island nation of Guam. I was thinking about the Laos and of her conversation about killing all the snakes and praying, asking us to pray for them as they went to another part of Cambodia, an unreached part, to pray about the snakes. I do remember that and do pray for her and protection from the snakes. Island of Guam. Here we go. Big problem, Guam. It is infested with snakes. You might think, oh, okay, I get it. Between 6 and 12,000 snakes per square mile. And these slithering reptiles, often 8 feet long or longer, have wiped out 70% of Guam's native species of birds. Here's the rub. The problem of these snakes and the disappearance of the birds is entirely man-made. There was a time before World War II that there were no snakes on Guam. It's an island. Got it? Gotta bring them there to make sure there are any snakes. And what happened was the brown snake was evidently imported from Australia, New Guinea, and the Solomon Islands as a stowaway in military shipments, and now Guam has no way to get rid of the snakes. They have no natural enemy on that island. The Bible teaches us that we human beings have always carried a snake problem with us. Everything we touch, we infect. We discover a way to harness the wonderful energy of the atom and begin building bombs. We invent the internal combustion engine. I love it, don't get me wrong, but we invent it. And then we find a way to pollute the air that God created. We discover a way to extract from nature cures for various ailments. And you want to know something? We end up producing addictive drugs and have an opioid crisis in America today. The Lord of life gave his life for creatures who do such things. No. Creatures such as you and me. Why in the world did he do it? I don't know. But I hope you see the divine absurdity of it all. The Lord of the universe laid down his life for you and me. He lay aside his regal robes to take up the cross of degradation and death. He lay aside his crown of glory for a painful crown of thorns. And he did it for us. Can you get your mind around that astounding, absolutely unbelievable truth? Are you worthy of such an act? I'm not. Are you? Some way, what a miracle of God, our Savior was able to turn dumb sheep into sons and daughters of God, because when you came to know Christ, you became his son. You became his daughter. And that's why Christ laid down his life. A transactional, but more than that, a transformational action on the cross of Calvary. I don't fully understand why it had to happen that way. But the result is staggering all the same. Sweat dropped from Jesus' body in the Garden of Gethsemane when he committed himself to the assignment that God gave him, but it was drops of blood that sealed the deal on Golgotha. Gallup. I don't always believe in polls. I think you can find polls that'll tell you just about anything. But a particularly interesting poll from Gallup reported once that 98% of Americans believe in God. Probably less today than when I got these statistics. Incredible. At that time, though, 80% believed in Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. Okay, probably lower than that right now, too. But at the time when almost 100% believed in God and 80% believed in Jesus, the same poll, I just wanted to let you know, only 40% of that group of folk thought that religion was very important, that actually doing something about that knowledge was important. There is a God, so what? Jesus died on the cross, so what? Only 40% actually thought that should mean that it makes a change in their actions. I find it difficult to believe. In that group of folk, people believe that Jesus shed his blood on their behalf and then live as though it's not really that important. Oh, I hope that you're not one of them, because if it's 80%, 40%, it is possible that, you know, you could be one of the 40%, one of the 60% that just isn't living their life any differently because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He says to you, I am the good shepherd. He says to you, you're a sheep. He says to you, I want to transform you into my son. I want to transform you into my daughter. And I am willing to forgive you of your sins. And I am willing to invite you to my home. and I'm going to create a home for you as well. Unbelievable! Absolutely absurd! And yet this is our faith. This is why you're here. This is why faith makes a difference. This is why, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. This is why my fear can go, because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living, because he lives. And he died on Calvary's cross, he lives in heaven above, and he reigns. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I really don't find it a tremendous compliment to be classified with sheep, but I do know this, I'm a sinner, I admit it. I'm a sinner that Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary. I didn't do anything to deserve it, but he did it anyway. I know I'm unworthy of having the Lord of life sacrifice himself on my behalf. Rather, I should be sacrificing myself for him. But today's not too late to start. I tell you, and I commit to you this morning, that by his grace, I am going to continue to dedicate the rest of my life to him. And I hope that you're going to do that too. Father in heaven, I thank you for your love, for your life, for your sacrifice, for your word. Continue to speak to us, Lord, from this message today, that we might be transformed and that our lives might be lived, knowing that you are God, knowing that you died on the cross, and ensuring that that makes a difference in the way we live. In Jesus' name, amen.